From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Oh, we've got a full studio, as you can hear here. Our connection this week's going to be made tomorrow when Fashion Week of Rochester opens for the fifth time. And if fashion seems sort of a high-minded concept, or if you've ever met me on the street and you wonder why I would ever talk about fashion, well, this particular effort aims not only to raise our level of standards, but also to fuse fashion and awareness of some serious issues confronting kids in Rochester, kids around the world. In particular, we're going to talk about child homelessness. So this hour, we're going to preview what's coming to the runways, to the galleries, to the shops. We're also going to zero in on the people who benefit and what the whole mission is of Fashion Week of Rochester. Let's welcome our panel. Elaine Spall is here from the Center for Youth, among many other things, and you've been right there since the beginning 5 years ago.
Yes, Evan, and we're so excited. This year could actually be our best ever. Now, we say that every year, but I think we will not disappoint this year.
Well, we've got a lot to talk about. Megan Mundy is here. She's the Chief Fashion Organizer. Nice to see you.
Nice to be here, and again, equally excited to just be 5 years old and again get amazed every year about how the community gets involved and how we grow and how much fun it is.
Well, and we're going to talk about who benefits, how they benefit, and how they can contribute. And Fatima Bayram Sable is a great example of that. She's the co-owner of Paisley Boutique and Thimble Taylor. And
Hi,
where's
everyone.
Your business?
Thank you. We are in the Brighton Tops Plaza, the heart of Brighton.
Okay, well, we're about to grill you about everything that you do. Thank you for being here.
I'm ready.
It's
thank you.
Great to
thank
have you
for
here.
Having us.
And fresh off a plane, and I mean that very literally, is Andre Gomez, a designer who has, I wish it weren't just radio so you could see the lovely watches he has. You just off a plane from where, Andre?
Hello, everyone, and thank you for having me here today. I just came from Miami.
From Miami.
Woke up pretty early, actually, around 3 in the morning. But, I brought my pieces here for Fashion Week in Rochester with a great invitation from Megan Mundy, and we're going to show you guys all our handmade products and the mission that we have behind it.
Well, thank you for being here, and Andre's got some wonderful stories to share with us. But let's sort of bring it back to the beginning, because, Elaine, for people who have not been in tune with Rochester Fashion Week, there's a lot coming up. Sort of give us kind of a cross-section. Maybe you and Megan can kind of give us a cross-section of what is happening over the next 5-6 days that starts tomorrow.
Absolutely. So we are ready to go tomorrow, first day of Fashion Week, fresh at the MAG with Fashion Exchange. Now, the Fashion Exchange is a very simple concept. You bring some gently used or never worn. You know, Evan, sometimes you go shopping, you get in front of one of those skinny mirrors, and that probably didn't happen to you, but you get home and you're like, oh, wait, I didn't look this way in the store, and you never wear the piece.
They do not do that.
No, they, well, I don't know, but sometimes
they do.
It
Megan
does.
Looks at me
sometimes
going,
sometimes
saying,
it
yes,
happens.
They do.
So you've got something, men and women, in your closet. It still has a tag on. Bring it to the Fashion Exchange. Come on in, $20, all kinds of vendors and food and a DJ, and you can switch it up for something beautiful. We've got some great, great pieces donated and just an enormous amount of activity and energy, and that's sort of the upcycling. We're not wasting anything. You know, I always say that I like to refashion Rochester, and one of the things we do is we also refashion some of our young people. We don't give up on them, do we? They're precious and they're useful, even have to brush them up a little bit. So that's the Fashion Exchange, and it's 12 to 7 at the MAG. We go straight into the runway shows, and the first runway show is in the historic, glorious Sibley's Tea Room, 5 o'clock on Wednesday, high tea, Sibley's, a legacy room. It's been completely renovated, and it will be the last time we see Sibley's, I think, in this way. Wind Company is going to make it into some beautiful residential and other things. And Meg, you had this dream of having doggies join us, and so that's going to be amazing, right?
Yeah, what's going on with the dogs?
So we had a casting call for dogs. We had 100 people and their dogs show up. We selected half of those, and they will be on the runway with their owners showing human fashions. And the stipulation was that if you wanted to have your dog wear dog fashion, it had to match the outfit that the designer or the boutique picked out for you.
This is Wednesday?
This is Wednesday. Okay. This is Wednesday, and there's tickets still available at Wegmans. Thursday is a completely different concept, moving into an old, beautiful building at Woodbury and South Avenue. It's called the Gallery of Fashion, and so we have a raised runway, amazing, edgy designs and beautiful things with a Gallery of Fashion, so a huge art show, and was there this morning with the Paleys and Wendell Castle and Carl Chiarenza and Robert Marx and Michael Tell. Great, great masters. Now, we have many, many more, but we're featuring 22 and many of them in families. So you're going to see the greatest pieces of art along with the runway show on Thursday night in the new Woodbury Place. Again, refashioning buildings and people. Friday is always a family show, intergenerational. Rundell Library, and Meg, again, you've had this concept about doing something fun on the runway, so here we go.
So I did another casting call for twins of all ages.
For twins?
Yes. So we actually have
a
set.
I'm a twin. I was
Are
not
you
aware.
A twin?
I am, yes.
You're
I
a
am.
Twin?
You didn't come to the casting
is
call.
Is your brother, is it a brother or
it's
sister?
A brother, yeah.
And is he in town?
He is not in town, and he is probably the most fashionable person I know. Anything that I have that is remotely decently fashionable, including these shoes with colored laces, come from him.
Oh.
So next year, I think we'll do another twin show, and I think you need to be on the
Drew
runway.
Drew Dawson, if you're listening, you are invited.
Drew Dawson, next October.
So that's Friday?
Friday. Okay. We have also Silver Foxes, both men and women, 60 plus, because Rochester Fashion Week is not just for the size zero. We reach out to the whole community and find the beauty in all ages. So that's going to be a great show.
Rundell Library.
Yep.
Yeah, Fashion by the Books, it's called. And every child who will be there will leave with a book. Of course, you know, we're all about literacy at the center. And really, that third grade reading mark is so important to us. So the children will leave with books. Grandmothers and granddaughters also on the runway.
Forgot about that,
And then some just old hotties, too, like regular great models, too. So there's something for everybody. Saturday could be our most challenging and one of our most exciting ever. As a city councilwoman, I like to feature the East District, my district, and Midtown
little
Tunnel.
Little homerism.
Right. I do, because we've got a lot going on in the East District, and I love the whole city, as you know. But the Midtown Tunnel is about 17,000 square feet of concrete. And we're going to be down there Saturday night. We've already sold about 600 tickets. There's about 100 left. So please hurry. Don't wait, because we're going to have a lot of disappointed people. And underneath the Midtown Tunnel, you park in the Midtown Garage and walk right down. And there we're going to be in the tunnel with amazing, edgy, cool stuff. And Fatima's going to be featured that night. And just an amazing opportunity to see Rochester. It's a place people don't go. I mean, it's a truck tunnel, right? But it's amazing. So
Now, there's got to be a full schedule of events at tell us, because I know there's different events. You can get tickets for these events, and where do they go, Elaine?
So all tickets are sold at Wegmans, and every Wegmans store right at the service department there. We love it because, you know, everyone's in Wegmans regularly here in Rochester, and you can buy and one store, and it immediately goes through all the stores. So that's the way to control it. You know, we end the week next Sunday with Women in Plastic shopping while their husbands watch football, and it's awesome. So watch out, guys. And I don't know what time the Bills play, but, you know.
There are some women who watch football. There are some men who shop.
Okay, well, then we'll love to see them all with us.
All right.
It's called the Boutique Crawl, and we start off at early in the morning at registration at City Grill, and we set off between about 11:30 and 6 to 27 different boutiques, including the art show at Merkel Donahue, that site where you can shop and have treats and discounts and cool stuff, and you can buy the things you just saw on the runway. Now, I'll tell you, as somebody who actually walks the runway once in a while, I want to buy everything I see, and of course you can't, but that's a way to really round off the whole week next Sunday, the Boutique Crawl. And again, starting at City Grill and starting from there with maps and all kinds of fun stuff throughout the city, all the way out to Pittsford, the Wedge, South Wedge, including downtown Rochester, and out to Brighton. So we're very excited about that.
What's the website for Fashion Week?
Fashionweekofrochester.org. And you can also find everything at centerforyouth.net.
Now, Fatima, you're somebody who you're going to be featured on Saturday.
Yes.
But I know Elaine was talking about the fact that you're a great example of one of the beneficiaries of the week here. Mm-hmm. So first of all, Elaine, introduce Fatima for well, how you've gotten to know
Fatima
her.
Is, first of all, is one of the most generous, glorious young people in our Aww. Community. She's an example of what what makes me hopeful about our community and about Rochester. She and now her new husband as well. Small business owner, honest, authentic. You know, she does Randy's pants, by the way. I thought I would throw that in. No, she tailors Randy's pants.
Careful with the language here. I don't think that was immediately clear what you were saying.
She's a tailor. She tailors Randy.
She does them. She does them. She
tailors.
Don't
repeat what I just said. Let's move on. She tailors Randy's pants. She's actually featured Wednesday and Saturday.
For the T-show as well.
She does a T-show as well. So she's going to be all over Fashion Week. And she and her business have really been partners with us since the beginning. And I think it's impacted her opportunities.
Well, Fatima, tell us about that.
So a little bit of my background. I started off as just a seamstress, sewing, doing the customer service, and tailoring. And we introduced Paisley about 4 years ago now. And ever since, I've been a part of the Rochester Fashion Week. It's just such a positive experience, and it's kept us very close to our community. And the amount of women that come in that hear about us strictly just from Rochester Fashion Week has been huge, and it's just helped us along the way.
And so you and your husband are now small business owners.
Yes.
And look, there's no easy small business to run, but it's going okay.
It's a full-time commitment. It's absolutely, I call it my baby. Everyone, we just got married, and everyone's like, when are you having a baby? When are you guys planning on having one? And my response to that is, I already have a baby. And that's my shop. It's my, you know, it's my little niche. It's my passion.
Yeah.
And her business is not even really such a small business, because she's growing and growing. And you want to come see what she's got, but also your expansion is so important.
Well, with Rochester Fashion Week, it's just so positive, and it makes you feel so good to be able to give back to your community and make an impact on children who are in need, and just be a part of something and have 500 people in the room that are from different backgrounds, different communities. I mean, we have someone flying in all the way from Miami just to be a part of our town.
I can't wait to hear his story, because we were talking off air, and we're going to get to that in just a second.
It just makes you proud. It makes you, you know, it just fuels you and helps you keep going.
Where did you grow up?
I actually grew up in the inner city. So when I was approached by Megan, it hit home. And growing up, a lot of my peers, just struggles. I graduated from East High School, born and raised, like, right off of Joseph Avenue. So my parents first migrated from Turkey to Rochester because of Hickey Freeman, which is located downtown on Clinton Avenue.
So you're continuing a tradition in the family.
Can we hear a little bit about Silk? Give a little teaser for Silk?
Okay. Yes. So Saturday night's show is so special to us this year, because everyone knows this is Thimble and Paisley. And a few years ago, I decided that I wanted to get into the bridal industry in Rochester. I don't think that we have a good representative of who we are as a town without a bridal shop. I personally had to drive 4 hours away to pick out a gown. Mm-hmm. And what I took from it was the experience and the customer service. And I think that with my background, with our craftsmanship and, you know, our importance on detail and just providing that good, positive experience, I think Silk, when we launch it November 1st, it's going to do pretty well. That's our expectation.
But you can preview it on the runway Saturday night.
So no one knows.
No one knows. Well, we just
Did
sort
you
of
just break a little news.
Yeah, I did a little exclusive. Yeah, but that's okay. We're not talking about the designs, and after all, you can't see it because it's radio. But you know, it's really worth coming out. It's going to be
Saturday
dramatic.
Night, it's
dramatic.
The last scene of the show.
And Elaine, do you take? I want to ask this question kind of delicately, but do you take any extra pride knowing Fatima grew up in a place where, look, she's got classmates who probably have struggled in some places. Not everybody. Everybody's story is different, but how do you
feel? Well, I wouldn't be surprised if some of the young people that were her colleagues in school haven't had the opportunity to be served by the center. You know, we were at East High School for years and years. For almost 10 years, we delivered programs, and we're actually going back to help the University of Rochester. So I'm not surprised. She's a source of real joy, and many, many young people from the city are, and others just need our help, and that's one of the things Fashion Week has been able to do. So I'm over the moon about this girl, but also just about Fashion Week.
Fatima, how do you feel when you look at sort of the wide range of your own classmates growing up? I mean, the difference of experience. Some folks like you are doing wonderfully. Others have struggled. How is that for you?
Absolutely. I mean, I remember girls that were pregnant at the age 14. I mean, it was a battle between not getting into fights throughout lunch periods. It was getting scanned every day from our sentries in the corridors. I've taken all of my experiences and my journeys, and I've put it into something positive. And, going to East High School, it was a challenge, but I made the most out of it. And I still stay in touch with all of my teachers from East High School. It's a great place if you want it to be.
Elaine, what's the mission of the Center for Youth?
The mission of the Center for Youth is to be the best place for every young person mm-hmm. who's troubled, who's struggling, who wants to have a voice to start. That's the best place to start, mm-hmm. whether it's a homeless program. We run the largest homeless programs across this community, street outreach. We run Rochester Teen Court, alternative suspension. 22,000 young people served by the center last year. It's a small city there at the Center for Youth, but our reach is even in the suburbs. We're doing programs in Greece and in Fairport, charter schools. We have a program in Mount Morris, for goodness sake. So all families in our sometimes at risk, no matter where we live, and the center is the best place. Everything is free, always confidential, 24/7. We're open 24/7 in terms of hotlines. If you call us, we will find you. Safe place sites, 350 safe place sites, 250 on buses, RTS systems. So we are everywhere, and we are just, as I said, just over the moon about Fashion Week. We will raise dollars. We don't know how much. We don't care about the number, but we can tell you that we will open a new shelter for young men. Our young men in this community are tremendously at risk, and we are going to open an 8-bed shelter for boys, 16 to 21. They'll start as boys. We hope they'll leave us as young men. We hope so. We run a school for young men, New Beginning School, and some of them miss school because they're homeless. So that's one of the goals of Fashion Week. Evan, can you imagine having glamour and glitz and good stuff actually aligned with homelessness? It is only in Rochester could mm-hmm. we make this happen.
No, I mean,
it's really something special.
That juxtaposition for some people may be difficult, but I think you're seeing exactly the mission.
Exactly.
Here. You're hearing from people like Fatima. We're going to hear from Andre. Megan is telling us about how these things are structured. But do you think, Elaine, that people who live in Rochester's suburbs understand the issue of child homelessness?
I think it's a concept that's very difficult to believe, that somebody would be without resources or some place to go. I will tell you, though, Evan, about 40% of the kids in our homeless shelter come from suburbs, often the ring suburbs. Our homeless population is not just city kids. So there are certainly families who struggle, particularly in some of the ring suburbs of our city. We're sort of all in this together these days. I always say it's never too late to have a happy childhood, and that's one of the things the Center for Youth is committed to doing. You can turn it around and go on into an adult. Adulthood and be really successful, as so many of our kids are. We have homeless young people who are now running small businesses and who are in graduate school and doing great, great things. So we never give up on our kids.
Andre Gomez flew in this morning from Miami, and you've got this beautiful set in front of you. Well, first of all, tell our audience exactly what it is that you do.
All right. Well, basically, our company is called Hardtech.
Besides look good in a suit.
I don't even know where you're looking at that. It's not me.
You're putting everyone to shame in this building. But go ahead.
we started this company, Hardtech, about a year ago, a little more than a year. I need to start telling you guys that I'm originally from Colombia. I moved here about 9 years ago. And I didn't go back to Colombia for around 8 years after that. And the first time I went back, I noticed that a lot of like the natural resources were gone. There's a lot of construction, a lot of buildings going up, and it's not what we were all used to back then, you know, when I was a child. And we had an idea of starting making fashion stuff, bracelets, watches from recycled materials. there's enough of natural resources used as today, and we need to actually stop doing what we're doing with the natural resources and keep using what we already have. Examples are our bracelets are made from PVC. That's where we get the structure from. We use reclaimed woods and scraps from leathers from local places down there. The watches, same thing. We use reclaimed woods, scraps from leather, and also we just developed a new watch, or actually a new prototype made from recycled, this is trash bags, and actually bottles.
Trash bags and bottles.
Yeah, we use HDPE, which is high density polypropylenum. It's one of those plastics that when you heat and you want to melt, you don't send in any bad fumes to the environment. So you can actually melt this without doing any damage to the environment. So that's what we selected as number two. If you look at the recycling symbol and the bottles, you have a number two that's HDPE. We just came out with this new model.
Hold on. Let me ask you. Let me jump in, because for our listeners who may be listening on our mobile app or on WXXINews.org, is Hard Tech online?
Absolutely.
It's Hard, H-A-R-D-T-E-K, Hard Tech. Where are you online?
Correct. So it's hardtech.net. Hardtech.net. On the bottom of the page, we have a Facebook if you want to follow us, and also we have Instagram.
You got to see the watches, because, you know, Megan, it'd be one thing if the mission is great. I love the mission that you're describing, reclaimed woods and PVC piping and all these things that could go to waste. It'd be one thing if the mission's cool. But they look really good.
They're really good.
They're really good.
That was, now that you're touching that subject, I guess. Every time you hear about recycling fashion or recycling this, recycling that, you're gonna take a look at it, and it kind of, you know, it's a little boring, because, you know, it wasn't developed the right way with the passion that we actually put. We wanted to equal a product made from scraps and trash to a product that you can buy in the highest, the most chic boutique. So we want to be like head to head in the same position that a regular designer. Not just say, oh, we want to, you know, make pencils from bottles. We want to, you know, show everyone that we can actually stop, like, as we speak, using natural resources to make excellent pieces. And by the way, they're all handmade. And
you're impacting children too, aren't you?
I thought what Andre said was interesting when we were talking when you got off the plane about how you are teaching the children of the woodworkers about, you're starting from the bottom up about, you know, conserving and taking care of their forests. And I just thought that was such a great point.
Tell us that story. That is great.
All right. Really so good. Basically, we have we have like a three ways that we use the environment here. First of all our pieces are made from recycled materials, like we discussed. Second, we go to our community's youth in Colombia, in South America, and we're planning to expand to other cities. And we teach them how to recycle. We teach them that it's possible to make stuff from, you know, plastics or cardboards or woods. Reclaimed woods and other stuff, other products. And the third step is planting. For every piece that we sell, we actually plant a native tree with the kids in Colombia. And you can just buy any tree. You have to do a study about the specific ecosystem and buy, you know, all these trees, so you get back to the ecosystem that we had before it was knocked down. Because you can, if you plant another trees, you're gonna imbalance. So we do actually do a really big research in what is the trees that we can plant, where we can plant it, because all the areas are different. So we want to get the exactly ecosystem that we have 20 years ago. That's the whole thing.
Hardtech.net is the website.
Yes,
sir. When can we see The hard tech stuff this week, Megan?
So Andre will have a selling space at the High Tea High Fashion, as well as be on the runway. I'm pairing him up with Lululemon because I think it's a whole great pairing there. Mm-hmm. And then he'll have his own show on Thursday at the Merkle Donahue Building on Woodbury Street.
I wasn't aware of that.
You weren't?
Yeah, but what about the exchange tomorrow?
Oh, and he'll be at the exchange too.
He'll be at the exchange tomorrow.
So
yeah,
I mean, he wasn't aware of that either.
Yeah, he wasn't aware of it. Just stick with us, Andre.
I just picked him up and brought him to the radio. He's in a whirlwind.
But the exchange is going to feature his goods tomorrow because it fits with the theme of mm-hmm. upcycling.
So there'll be two great opportunities to buy Andre's product, and then there's an opportunity to see it on the runway. We've got it paired up with some stunning models wearing white jeans and white tanks, so the pieces will really pop. But that was what when Andre gave me and my daughter these pieces in Miami when we met him, I see a lot of products, and I see a lot of, and I just was really taken back by exactly what you said. It's a beautiful product that I'm proud to wear, but it's also got such deep meaning behind it. And it just somehow, we just kind of stayed in touch. And I just felt like with the way things developed this year, I needed to kind of get him up here. And I'm driving him around a mile a minute, talking, answering phone calls of things going on. And I'm just really proud to expose somebody to our city.
But to be clear, okay. Even if it didn't have that really cool background for these, they would be great watches.
Oh my God, absolutely!
And that's what's the greatest.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, that's the win-win.
Well, one of the things that we actually miss here is how we are attacking the problem of deforestation or global warming directly. We can plant trees. We can recycle. We can do a lot of things, and I hope everyone is doing it at this time because. We need to protect the world, but and the city where we're doing this, the population there, about 70 to 80% of the people, they work in wood, so they all make furniture. They all, they're using natural resources left and right. So their kids have that mentality. They're probably sons of, maybe 200-300 years ago. They've been doing this forever. So now we want to. These are the kids that I'm teaching. These are the kids that I'm training. We have to put a stop right there to these people that are, they've been using the natural resources forever. So we're not only impacting the kids, but we're impacting the kids of these guys that are actually doing this left and right every day. And the other thing is we cannot tell their parents to stop the business because obviously they need an income. They need to produce money to survive. So in the back of the whole project, we have another two ideas. As long as we, we have enough power to do this, we're planning to create two different companies. One of them is a recycling company. So we're going to try to pull 20-30% of these people and try to, recycle as much as they can. And the second company will be use all these plastics to make outdoor furniture, to make pallets. How many pallets Walmart needs in one store? You're talking about thousands. If you multiply all the Walmarts we have in the world, then they need a lot of pallets. So the demand is there. No one has opened their eyes, but we can actually have them stop work with the wood and work in other alternatives. So we have everything, step by step set up to get them out of the business.
And when I saw the term upcycling, if I'm going to describe it then, is it essentially it's recycling with sort of an elevated sense of style, quality, fashion, mm-hmm. et cetera? Is that kind of how, Andre, is that how you describe upcycling?
Absolutely. People tend to think that recycling is something inferior in quality.
Right.
Which is, maybe for the view of some objects, that might be right. But actually, if you have a pallet, make from wood, the pallet's going to absorb the water and it's going to break down in 4 or 5 years. So it has a longevity of life of 5 years. If you make a pallet from plastics, from the plastics we're making the watches, it's actually more resistance. You can put more weight on it and it can last you up to 200 years because it's waterproof. So down the road, it saves you money and it saves the planet.
I have a question. What's a pallet?
Those big things that you put stuff on.
Oh, okay.
Right? To keep it, all right. To keep it out of the water.
You were thinking more like wine and food, pal.
But she's like, yeah, art,
just,
maybe. Like,
I just
want
to know. Yeah. But okay, now I got it. All right.
But, you know, the upcycling at the exchange is also the same thing, Evan. You're going to leave with something better than what you came with. Mm-hmm. But you're, you know, you're sort of, didn't look so good on me as somebody else's treasure. So that's really exciting.
Got a couple interesting questions online. Let's take a very short break, back in 60 seconds. And if you're just joining us, we're talking about the launch of Fashion Week of Rochester. Kicks off tomorrow, the fifth annual now. Elaine Spall from the Center for Youth is here. Megan Mundy is the chief fashion organizer for the week. Andre Gomez is the man you've been hearing talking about his designs. And Fatima Bayram Sable is the co-owner of Paisley Boutique and Thimble Taylor and Silk Bridal. That's you, right? I mean, that's.
Yeah, that's oh my God.
Okay. Well, I mean, I actually saw it on Twitter.
Now she has to do it.
Well, no, hold on, Fatima. I saw it on Twitter, so it must be real now.
Yes.
So I don't think that
it's
I don't think I'm crossing any boundaries before you're ready. It's out there now. So Silk as well there. So you're getting a sense for what Fashion Week's all about. Short break, and some of your questions answered next. Stay with us. I'm Evan Dawson. Tuesday on The Next Connections, we'll talk to Peter King, the CBS Radio News correspondent and upstate radio veteran, and the co-author of Ithaca Radio. Our colleague Scott Feibusch joins us for the discussion. Then we'll talk about Forsaking the Highway, how to celebrate Western New York and travel far from the regularly traveled paths. That's Tuesday on Connections with Evan Dawson.
Support for your public radio station comes from our members and from Lanoken Farms, located on Route 104 in Medina, offering more than 300 apple varieties, apple picking, and wagon rides, open through November 2nd. Schedules and varieties online at lanokenfarms.com.
Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. We're talking about the launch of the fifth annual Fashion Week, Rochester Fashion Week. And Elaine Spall, we just had a question from a listener who said, just tuned in, and can you go over the basic schedule of events in case we missed it? So why don't you briefly do that? Fatima, we have a question for you coming. But Elaine, can you kind of just give us an overview of what starts tomorrow?
6 days starting tomorrow, Fashion Exchange, Memorial Art Gallery, 12 to 7 tomorrow. Wednesday, first runway show, high tea, high fashion, Who Let the Dogs Out? Ooh, ooh, you know that song? Okay, we're going to be up there in Sibley's Tea Room, the way you remember it when you were a child, wearing patent leather shoes. Come on up. And 5 o'clock runway show, doors open at 4, 100 models, 50 of them with dogs, gorgeous dogs, gorgeous models, men and women. Thursday, back to refashioning Rochester in the old Merkle Donahue building. The show starts at 8, doors open at 6:30. It's accompanied by one of the greatest art shows Rochester will ever see. We have not had these masters from the Paleys and Wendell Castle and Nancy Jurors and Michael Taylor and Len Urso, all of them together. They've never shown together, and they'll be showing together for Fashion Week. And Friday, the runway show at the library. Friday, Fashion by the Books, Rundell Library. Doors open at 7, show at 8. And then we end up the week of runway shows underneath the Midtown Tunnel, wild, crazy place, 17,000 square feet of concrete. And then on Sunday, the boutique crawl means you can buy everything you just saw at the runway show. Mm-hmm. So fashionweekofrochester.org, centerforyouth.net, and the DNC is also running it constantly. But that's the rundown for 6 days. Tickets at Wegmans, every Wegmans store. Please get your tickets. We don't want to disappoint people. We fear that we get calls the day before saying it's sold out. And don't be that person that has to watch the stream next year.
That's a good problem for you to have.
It's a great problem.
But don't want to disappoint
people. We don't want to disappoint. And we also really want to make sure everybody has a chance to see at least one of these shows.
Dave writes and says, Evan, I believe one of your guests went to East High School. Great to hear success stories. Does she feel that her success is due to her hard work or to the help she received along the way?
I think it's both. I think that yes, you have to have your heart in it. Yes, you have to work hard and constantly fuel and be inspired. But I think that with a small community, everyone works together and we're all intertwined. So whatever I do and the support that we receive, I try to support others in the same sense. And along the way, like Rochester Fashion Week has been a huge, huge, huge help to our business and getting our name out there and just having a presence within the community.
Elaine, how do you interpret Dave's question when it comes to what makes for success when kids grow up? You know, Fatima may not be in the exact same position as a lot of the students who go to East High School, but when you grow up getting searched or going through metal detectors and seeing fights and wondering if you can get through the lunchroom without seeing a fight or getting pulled into one, et cetera, that kind of thing can be a distraction on the way
it
to graduating, success, et cetera.
You wouldn't believe the resilience of our kids, though. I always say this. Our kids are so resilient. Mm-hmm. The kinds of things that may trouble us, you know, we maybe have grown up a bit soft, some of us, and the resilience I see young people, homeless young people, who now have master's degrees, who are, you know, off at college, who are making their way, who are creative and wonderful, and the path was not easy. But we see an enormous amount of resilience. Dave may be wondering whether it's just a personal ingenuity and hard work. I think that is part of it. We often wonder why one kid in a family, for example, does well and somebody else might not. Is it in the DNA? Is it a combination of things? But I do think that also many, many young people can point to the name of an individual, a teacher, a coach, a mentor, somebody who helped them along the way. You know, we have a young woman who's an emerging designer, and Jessica was all over the papers this weekend. She has been part of the center. She's on our street outreach team as a youth worker. She's off at college. She wants to be a fashion designer. She met Meg Mundy. Meg gave her some inspiration. She came to me with a proposal. She will have three looks on the runway. I mean, this is not a traditional fashion week. There is really something for everybody. It is, you know, the tickets, the $25 tickets, and if somebody really can't afford it and they tell me, I find a way to get them in. This is about our community. We have 150 different sponsors. People want to see this succeed. And part of it is that you have young people who are seeing a goal and they're reaching for it. And I think it does happen with enormous amount of persistence and resilience, but also with some helping hands.
I'm enjoying the conversation so much, I forgot to tell our listening audience the phone number. If you want to join the conversation, people are doing so online, but you can call toll-free, 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255. Right here in Rochester, it's 263-WXXI, 263-9994. Now, Meg Mundy is the chief fashion organizer, and that's sort of a big job. I mean, everybody's got a kind of a different take, but you probably have a lot of responsibility in helping determine what the trends and what we're seeing. How would you describe what we're seeing in terms of, say, clothing fashion? What's hot out there right now?
Oh, gosh. Well, right this year, I would say black and white. There's a lot of plaid. We're seeing always some faux fur and some real fur, leather, all different types of textures, statement pieces and jewelry. Those are sort of the main things that I'm seeing.
Statement pieces with, say, watches.
Yeah, maybe some really big recycled watches.
I love the press. We need that. We need to save trees.
But honestly, Andre and Meg, I had a conversation this weekend with someone who said, isn't it so nice with smartphones, we'll never have to wear watches again? And my one friend who was wearing watch time said, I think it's still quite fashionable to do so, and I don't want to be pulling out my cell phone all the time, especially if you have a toddler like mine who will say to me, put it back in your pocket. Put
good.
The phone back in your
good.
Pocket.
Good.
I know,
yeah.
Which is good,
yes,
which
yeah.
is good. So
yeah.
So pieces like that, you're saying, still very
statement
much in the
pieces,
forefront.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, yeah. People have always, the watch is more than just a timepiece. It makes a statement. But there's just, you know, the best part about my job is I get to meet all these young designers and I get to be a part of helping them and I can see something and then see it down the road on the runway. And that's been one of the most wonderful things that I've got to experience is meeting people like Andre and becoming friendly with Fatima and Jessica. I remember when I met Jessica, Elaine had asked me to meet with her, and I sat and I met with her, and we went over. She wanted to go to FIT, and I had gone to FIT, and we had this wonderful meeting, and she was telling me about her dreams and what she wanted to do, and she had her sketches. And I had another meeting upstairs with Elaine that afternoon, right after meeting with Jessica. And I walked into the meeting with Elaine, and I just started like crying because I was so touched by this woman and her dreams and wanted to help her. And now here she is. She's going to be on the runway at Fashion Week. So that, to me, is the best part about my job. There's a ton of moving pieces. There's a lot of work. My family steers clear of me this week because I'm a crazy person. And, you know, every year I say, I'm not doing this again. It's too much work. And literally the day after Fashion Week, I'm on the phone with Elaine looking for locations for next year.
Because, you know, the sites are always different every year for new sites, which makes it crazy because you have permits and bathrooms and, you know, parking.
It helps to know someone on city council.
Who has her eye on property all the time. Let me also say a very quick word about True Gault. True Gault is a new shoe company that's launching also. The young woman, Sandra Gault, who started the company, is a Rochester girl who went off to New York City, and she has this technology where she scans your foot and she actually creates for you shoes that are, they're made for you. They're made in Spain. They're beautiful. And she's launching a very, very high-end product on Wednesday, something to really keep an eye out for. So a little plug for that hometown girl made good.
Yeah, cool stuff. Megan, if people have not been to a runway show before, give me a sense for what the atmosphere is like.
Well, the beauty of it is the atmosphere is different every night, but the atmosphere is always one of excitement. It's one of community. It's one of fun and party and great music. And it's an opportunity to express yourself however that may be. There's no right or wrong way to dress, but I mean, what one of my reasons for starting this is when I moved here, I felt like people would say something like, oh, I wouldn't wear that in Rochester. And not being from here and being, I'm originally a Jersey girl and I've been here for 16 years, I love this community and I feel like it's a community that needs to be celebrated. So take out your best clothes, put on your coolest outfit. And I had a friend of mine text me today. He read something in the paper. He goes, well, I saw what you said to wear on Saturday, but I don't have any leather pants. What else should I wear? So it's just really the biggest vibe is fun, happiness, community celebration, celebration of all the arts in our community, and just being together as a diverse group of people that love fashion, art, and just to come and celebrate with us.
Just a quick word about the economic driver, and then I'm going to let Fatima speak also. You know, we know that the week before Fashion Week, the week of Fashion Week, and the several weeks after Fashion Week is a huge economic driver. The boutique crawl, for example, people give us 10% of what they sell, and we had $17,000 come in the door, $20,000 last year.
Center for Youth.
Yeah, that means that $200,000 worth of stuff was sold right before, during, and after Fashion Week. That's a big economic boom. And Fatima, you know, you've actually seen that experience yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, within the 4 hours from last year's boutique crawl, we raised over $1,000 in 4 hours. We thought, you know, maybe 20 people would come in. Over 60 people visited our shop last year for the boutique crawl.
And once you're in her shop, you come back. You come back. Believe me, it's great stuff.
You're getting a sense for Fashion Week of Rochester, which is fashionweekofrochester.org.
Yes.
So you can see the full schedule of events. Wegman sells the tickets.
Yes.
I'm always curious. Andre Gomez, who's a designer who's with us here, when you look for sort of design inspiration, who's out there right now that's really lighting it up that gets you excited? In your world, besides your own work, which is getting all of us excited, where are you sort of, and sometimes in the fashion world, people look at, I don't know, do they look at Milan still? Do they look at other cities that are sort of more known as hubs, et cetera? When it comes to your design world, is there a place where you go and look to?
Actually, I've been like all over the world, and I like to look at structural things. Designers, Philip Stark, and he mixes big items with small items. Cuts, for example, one of our watches has a diamond cut because it has different angles. We could have just put a piece of wood and with a dial in the watch, but I wanted to give it that sophisticated look, and I created angles from this was a a building I saw, I believe, in Chicago. And it has this, it had these angles on the corners. I was like, what if I do this in a watch? So I'm more based on structural, you know, constructions and different things like that.
Wherever you sort of see it.
I mean, I can see it in the ground, like, you know, a piece of rock that it looks cool. And you want to transform that into something else and maybe give it an upgrade and make it look better. But, you know, from all over the world.
And we had, hold on a second, I got to scroll back here. Janet was asking about the dogs, had heard something about the dogs. So, Janet, if you missed it, Megan, tell us about the dogs. Megan did this thing where she had 100 people come out, and she told half of them their dogs were not good looking enough.
As I explained to Elaine, because she wanted me to have every dog, and I'm a dog person, and
How do you cut the dogs out?
Well, I mean, they're not necessarily cut out for life. It's just this particular year, we could only have 45 dogs.
And you had
100
come out.
So I keep all those photos on file. Like any casting call, you know, either you get the job or you don't. So I had to also think about the different breeds, the different sizes. Like I do in the humans on the runway, I like variety. I like different shapes and sizes. So that's
It's not all little dogs.
It's not all size zero dogs.
No. There are some big.
Well, we
dogs.
Got some killer ones. We got some little ones. We got some purse dogs. We've got some massive bull mastiffs. My daughter's walking one of the bull mastiffs.
Oh my god!
She's a stand-in because the owner said he didn't want to be on the runway, and my daughter happened to be helping me that day, and she said, I'll walk your dog. So
some of the owners are not runway material, but we're not going there. Can you imagine? I just said that on TV. I mean, on the radio. But the thing about it is that when I say not runway material, it has to do with being shy than anything. I mean, believe me, I'm walking a corgi, and it is not my dog, and I practiced yesterday, and he had his way with me. I was just running down Park Avenue. So many owners want their dogs to be featured, but they don't want to be on the runway.
Okay.
So that's... that's the PC.
Good job
way
of digging out.
Thank
Elaine.
You
that
so much.
Good. There you go.
I know. There we go.
But to Janet's question, when can we see the dogs again?
Oh, it's Wednesday. The High Tea, High Fashion. It's 4 o'clock. Doors open. 5 o'clock show, and it's at the Sibley's Tea Room down in the old Sibley's department store. Sixth floor.
It's crazy. It's
whose
fabulous.
Idea was the dogs? By
well,
the way?
I'll tell you, Meg had that idea because there was a dog last year named Rochester who is very well behaved, beautiful, tall, big poodle, right?
Oh.
And Rochester, when he went out on the runway, the folks went crazy. So Meg said, well, we should just do this 45 times over. And we have shelter dogs too, by the way, which really links back into the homeless program. So Rochester was a superstar, Meg, right?
Yeah, Rochester was the inspiration for all of it because I just, again, saw how it opened up, you know, just another avenue to include people and include another obsession that people may have besides fashion.
So there you go. And you can find the schedule at fashionweekofrochester.org. Elaine, I want to start to wrap the conversation.
Okay.
Gearing back toward one of the heart and the core, which is helping kids. And you mentioned that young males are particularly at risk in the city. Is that because they are more likely not to have a father figure than a young girl is? A young girl in Rochester is more likely to have her mom around than a young boy is likely to have his dad around.
Well, you know, we used to see in our shelters, Evan, about 60% young women, 40% young men, and those numbers have changed. We really see a lot of young men seeking guidance and support, and they're at risk for lots of reasons. We used to say that girls acted in and boys acted out, you know, in terms of hurting each other.
Yeah, interesting.
We still have a lot of that going on, but girls are acting out more as well. But the boys really want support. One of the reasons I need this shelter so desperately is we don't have a shelter just for young men. We have some co-ed shelters. We have men's shelters. We don't have a transitional living shelter where you could stay for 3 months, get things worked out, and move on to. So
for how old?
16 to 18, 16 to 20-year-olds.
Okay.
We don't have anything for those young men. And, you know, some of them are knuckleheads. They've done some things that make them a little bit unlovable, but I love them all. And our school, we run a school for these boys, and some of them can't make it to school. So that age, that gender, and that age, I mean, we have a shelter called Chrysalis House for Teen Moms. For 8 girls and 8 babies, but we don't have anything for young men in this community that's transitional.
And you're saying that will change?
That will change. We need, I have my eye on a house, and Fashion Week is going to help me. I'm going to get teary-eyed here. But can you imagine actually opening a homeless shelter because people love fashion and so many generous people?
Do you have a timeline for when you'd like to get that open? I know yesterday is the answer, but what's realistic?
I'm going to have the shelter open by January 1st. I'll invite you to the open house.
That's really coming, though. I mean, that's amazing.
That's going to happen. I'm telling you it's going to happen because, as I say, everybody I ask for help says yes.
The first week of January, then.
The first week in January.
You're invited to come on the show
and tell me
I was right.
I'll be back.
And tell us about it.
I would love it.
And
I'll bring one of the boys with me.
Because it is so important. You hear often, it's often easy for people who are sort of on the outside to look at those young guys and say, what an idiot. Go to class. Why would you? But I have to think, Elaine, the vast, vast majority who will end up in that situation, if you look back and start to peel back the layers, they've had a rough upbringing. They might not have two parents at home. They might not have one parent at home. Most of them.
Somebody let them down along the way. Somebody let them down.
And I'm not saying they're not responsible, but
no,
boy,
I mean, and it's not
it's
because people
scenario.
Don't love each other or care about each other. Just something didn't work out. They couldn't make it happen for these guys. And so they find themselves in situations that aren't always safe and making decisions that aren't always good. And we're going to help them with that.
It's easy for us to stand on the outside, though, and just sort of kind of offhandedly judge, right?
Yeah, at the Center for Youth, we live judgment-free, and we really do. We start where kids are, and we take them from there. We look for what's right in young people rather than what's wrong, which is what most adults do. They can't sort of help themselves. And we're going to find a lot of things that are right.
All right, we got about a minute left. Fatima, you can only pick one event this week. Which one would you go to?
Saturday night's show.
That was
the
fast.
Midtown Tunnel. Oh, my God, I can't go to sleep sometimes. I'm so excited.
Elaine, one show this week. You can only pick one.
I got to say Sibley's Tea Room with those dogs.
And I'm
not exactly, and people giggle. Well, no, I have to pick two. I have to go to the art show, too. You're going to see these masters together for the first. I'm going to go to them all, by the way, and you can, too.
Okay, Megan, one show.
Oh, gosh.
You get one.
Oh, gosh. I got to say Saturday night or Thursday night. Oh, I can't.
Never mind,
I'm
Andre.
I'm at all of them.
Andre, you only get one.
I'll say the dogs. I never seen something like that.
You mean in Colombia they don't have dogs?
No, in Colombia, not in Miami, you know, in California.
Come on, Miami? I would think Miami is actually much more likely to see that.
Evan,
well,
I think Miami might have one now.
They're walking. Yeah. Their dogs, maybe not in a fashion week, but
yeah.
That's going to be cool to see.
It may be a trend.
Cool.
You'd be surprised. Miami, Fashion Week of Miami may now feature dogs.
I bet you there's a lot of little, I'm picturing little dogs in Miami. You know, it's hot. You don't want to go to Miami.
Yeah, they have carried some in the wrong ways here and there.
You're very kind, Andre, for taking your time to come in right after getting off the plane. Thank you for being here. It's hardtech.net if you want to check out his stuff, and you can see him this week. Thank you for being in studio with us.
Thank you for inviting me, and thank you, Megan, all the ladies, for being here and making me a part of this.
You got it. Megan Mundy, thank you, the Chief Fashion Organizer. Nice to see you here.
Great to be here.
Elaine, always enjoy the conversation.
Thank you, Evan.
All right, and again, you're going to come back in January
do
this.
Yeah, don't play with me. I'm not going to forget.
Fatima with Paisley Boutique and Thimble Taylor and Silk. Congratulations
to
you.
Thank you so much.
Fashion Week starts tomorrow. Have a great time. I'm Evan Dawson. See you Tuesday on Member Supported Public Radio.